I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show.
They will mess up mitochondrial energy production. They'll have inflammatory properties. And of course, they will have autoimmune stimulating properties. And all this stuff is no good when you're trying to be an efficient energy burning machine. That happens to my stomach too, but the smoothie is so healthy that it's worth it. And that's when I was sort of slapped in the face and forced to reflect and contemplate that if something is touted as so healthy for you, I don't think it should be popping your stomach out and causing transient abdominal pain. And the one I'm appreciating more and more is this obligation to increase all forms of general everyday movement as a critically important factor in your ability to burn energy successfully and to be healthy in general.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Peluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Peluvas give you the most authentic barefoot-style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Peluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Peluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Peluvas, living in your Peluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Peluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Peluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Peluvas, let your feet be feet. Reflections and reader feedback and expert feedback on these concepts of energy balance inspired by my interviews with Jay Feldman, Energy Balance Podcast. I've received some wonderful feedback on our two interviews, as well as my recordings reflecting on these matters. So I'm going to share a bunch of summary comments, both from experts like Mark Sisson and other big names in the ancestral health scene, as well as ordinary listeners trying to do their best to be healthy and fit. So we'll get those summary comments together. And essentially what we're talking about here, the big picture question is, do healthy fit folks need to rethink the, quote, obligation to fast, restrict carbs, restrict eating windows, and prioritize fat burning to the extreme? And the argument here advanced by Jay Feldman and others is that these are all stress mechanisms. They trigger survival mechanisms that can be possibly too stressful when combined with a devoted athletic regimen as well as hectic, high-stress modern life in general. So again,
summary reviewing the big picture here. When you fast, when you restrict carbs, a lot of people report feeling great, more energized, more alert. And these are due to the stress response mechanisms of starving your cells of caloric energy. So when you go into ketosis, when you follow a ketogenic diet, when you engage in time-restricted feeding, you feel alert, energized, great, wonderful. You go on a prolonged fast and you feel great and more alert and clean and light and energetic. And these are due to stress hormones working their magic and allowing your body to function optimally, even in the absence of dietary calories. And these are wonderful things to fine-tune your metabolic flexibility, as we've written about in so many books and discussed. But it's important to reflect and acknowledge that these are, in essence, stress mechanisms. Now, when we zoom out and look at the big picture of all the other forms of stress in our life, could it be taken to the extreme where you are active, athletic, performing some ambitious workouts, and combining that or overall mixing in periods of fasting, carb restriction, things like that? So I think it might be helpful to segment this discussion into first talking about the goal of reducing excess body fat, and then in another part, a different show, we'll talk about the population of healthy, fit folks who are at their desired body composition or very close. But if one has the prominent goal of dropping excess body fat, that's going to predominate the thoughts and the strategies and the tactics that one uses. So let's hit that out of the gate here in this first show, and then we'll go into another level in an ensuing show. Let's assume that the main use of these niche dietary strategies like primal, paleo, low carb, keto, vegan, carnivore are contemplated for fat reduction. Of course, there are many other important benefits like improved overall general health, energy, disease protection, and so forth. But a lot of people are coming in with a goal, at least one of the goals, of dropping excess body fat. And of course, there are tremendous evidence that these diets are highly effective for fat reduction, any of the ones I mentioned. But essentially, what we're talking about here is a departure from the unrestrained, unregulated, indulgent eating that we are capable of participating in today, right? We can hit a button and someone will come to our door and deliver whatever we want. And we can eat anytime, day or night. We can also pair that with insufficient general everyday activity. And so what happens is when you take a departure from just this free-form, nonstop buffet every single day, you're going to generate results with fat reduction due to the restrictiveness of your eating in comparison to previous. Like Dr. Ponser reminded us during his interviews, any diet is essentially a gimmick, and that's not a criticism of the diet. When I joke partially about my CNC diet, carnivore-ish and chocolate, working very effectively to help me drop excess body fat, one of the reasons, the main reason that it worked was that it was restrictive, right? So you can only eat so much chocolate as my only indulgence, and then I've had enough, and I'm not reaching for the popcorn, the ice cream. I limited my options in the indulgence category, and then with the meal emphasis on these nutrient-dense, animal-based meals, they provided high satiety, great nutrition, deep cellular replenishment and nourishment so that my appetite hormones, everything was feeling great. I was not struggling, suffering, or deprived. And so those are features of a successful weight loss effort. When it comes to meal timing, Dr. Peter Attia reminded us recently that research is showing that most of the benefits of time-restricted feeding come from calorie restriction, not any magical reason that your body works better when you only feed it between the hours of 12 noon and 6 p.m. or what have you. Although there is research that you're better off eating before it gets dark, away from bedtime because we do want to give the digestive system a break. But putting that into proper perspective where the magic of time-restricted feeding is not essentially what's been bantered about when you're hit with these messages. Okay, so these restrictive niche diets are effective for fat reduction because they limit your indulgent choices. But then we have this potentially confusing notion that eating less food, exercising more, does not work for fat reduction because your body engages in a variety of compensatory mechanisms. You slow down, you turn down your metabolic and hormonal and immune dials to conserve when you're not giving yourself enough calories. So how does it work that people are reporting great results with keto or whatever it is? And it's very likely, it appears, that the predominant reason for success is the elimination of nutrient-deficient processed foods that cause metabolic damage and promote fat storage. So more so than eating fewer calories, you're switched to that vegan, keto, carnivore, paleo, whatever style diet. The emphasis or the major benefits came from eliminating processed foods as opposed to the magical functioning of cutting your carbs to 50 grams a day in the case of keto or eliminating animal products in the case of a vegan diet. And that's something to really appreciate and reflect upon, that diets are effective largely because of what they eliminate rather than the magical benefits of what's comprised in the diet. And the big ones that we're talking about here are the refined polyunsaturated industrial seed oils, because these inhibit your body's ability to burn energy internally, especially fat. They also damage your cells at the DNA level, and so they become difficult. They become integrated into healthy fat cells, and they're difficult to burn off when you consume these toxic calories. I've heard statements bantered about how long they stay in your body, and it's kind of scary. I think 73 days was one of the contentions. So if you have a serving of French fries, you're going to mess up your cellular function for a long time. And so we want to strive for total elimination of these processed industrial seed oils. Not that difficult, right? Throw away your bottles of corn, canola, soybean, safflower, sunflower oil that might be sitting in your cupboard. These are toxic agents. Dr. Kate Shanahan says it's literally no different than eating radiation for the immediate damage that they inflict upon your cells. So please go do that if there is anything still lingering in your house. That's the easy one, is to throw away the bottled industrial seed oils. But we also have to acknowledge when we start looking at labels that these things are snuck into all manner of packaged, frozen, processed foods. They are ubiquitous in restaurant meals, both the cheap, inexpensive meals, fast food joints, as well as fine dining. They will cook your meals in these industrial seed oils unless you insist otherwise. And so watch out for restaurant dining. That's where you're going to get a major dose of these industrial seed oils on the plate there with your wild-caught salmon or your steak or even your broccoli, whatever. These are just being squirted around in the kitchen, and most of your food is being prepared. And of course, because the oils are so calorically dense, that's where the research that Dr. Shanahan cites, that up to 40% of your calories from a restaurant meal are coming from the refined industrial seed oils. Of course, that's evident and obvious when we're talking about fast foods, but even in the medium to fine dining categories. And as far as scrutinizing labels, boy, you'd be surprised when you look at that salad dressing, when you look at that mayonnaise, when you look at that box of crackers, when you look at the container of cashew nuts that you think you're doing yourself a solid and getting a healthy snack. There's so many things that are prepared with these oils, and it's to stabilize the product, increase shelf life, increase profits at the direct expense of human health. So we want to band together and just boycott all these products that are made with refined industrial seed oils. Then the next category would be processed foods containing refined sugars and refined grains. And there's some good content that Jay Feldman mentioned at his show about this endotoxin, which is an internally manufactured, right? Endo means inside. An internally manufactured toxin that is produced in the intestinal tract when you consume these processed foods that are difficult to digest and pro-inflammatory by nature. Your body's just not built to process the 7-Eleven Slurpee with the food colorings and the preservatives and all the other ways that we get doses of refined grains and sugars. These also, the endotoxin, the secretion of endotoxin into the bloodstream will inhibit your ability to burn fat. It'll inhibit your ability to process energy with the mitochondria. So basically, it inhibits your ability to burn glucose as well as fat. And what happens then when you suck at burning energy? Oh boy, an important takeaway for the final exam. When you consume foods that inhibit your body's ability to process energy, you will become reliant upon external sources of calories for that quick hit, for that quick energy spike that happens when you consume another 7-Eleven Slurpee rather than kick into a nice, graceful a body's ability to burn a variety of energy sources throughout the day, even if you're not consuming regular meals or snacks. And then finally, in another category, and this is what the carnivore movement is all about, are the natural plant toxins that are contained in all plant foods as their defense mechanisms to ward off predators and to survive. And these will also prompt the production of endotoxin in the gut. They will mess up mitochondrial energy production. They'll have inflammatory properties. And of course, they will have autoimmune stimulating properties. And all this stuff is no good when you're trying to be an efficient energy burning machine. And as the great work from Dr. Paul Saladino, I think it's Carnivore MD 2.0 on Instagram and his quick videos where he's yelling at the camera with great enthusiasm and telling you which are the most offensive categories of plant foods. And those are roots, seeds, stems, and leaves. Those are the plants that have the most potential to cause disturbances in sensitive people. We're all familiar with gluten and how it's got such a bad rap. And that is because it is the most prominent plant toxin coming from the bread and the wheat products. And many people have difficulty processing gluten to some extent. Even some people argue that we're all sensitive to gluten, and a lot of us just have minor sensitivities that we don't even realize. They're subclinical, they're under the radar, whereas the person with celiac disease has that immediate reaction, which is so prominent. And we're all familiar with the stories of food allergies left and right. There's so many people that have peanut allergies. Many people have bizarre allergies to certain niche foods. And so this notion of plant toxins is not out of left field. It's a fundamental part of plant biology, botany. And so now it's being acknowledged that when you are in this sensitive category and you consume these things, they can really mess you up. And that's why these wonderful healing stories have occurred from people going on to an animal-based diet and restricting especially the most offensive plant foods. And so when they're in their raw form, they are, of course, much more toxic than when they're cooked, soaked, sprouted, fermented. You're hopefully also familiar with how so many plants that we consume are inedible until they are carefully treated and prepared, cooked, soaked, sprouted, or fermented, right? You're not going to have a spoonful of raw kidney beans or bite into a raw potato, but because these things are in some cases poisonous, right? Cashew nuts is another example. And so we're eating these end products that are more tolerable, but still potentially bringing a lot of sensitivities. I can reference my brief experimental period, probably lasted several months, where I was making this super nutrition green smoothie every morning. And so I'd freeze raw plant matter in the form of spinach leaves, kale, celery, beets, What else did I put in there? I put them in bags and put them in the freezer. And as directed by the viral video from Dr. Rhonda Patrick, popular health expert, she kept stuffing more green stuff in the blender, blend it up, then you can have room to stuff more and more. So I would get this huge dose of greens every morning, thinking I was doing myself a solid for my health and getting all these antioxidants and phytonutrients. And then guess what happened reliably every single day? After I prepared and drank the smoothie, my stomach would pop out and it would expand. It would bloat out, uncomfortably so, for several hours. And then it would finally go down and settle. And I finally started to realize this pattern and discuss it with another friend who was on the green smoothie kick as well. And he made that epic comment that stopped me in my tracks. And he said, yeah, that happens to my stomach too, but the smoothie is so healthy that it's worth it. And that's when I was sort of slapped in the face and forced to reflect and contemplate that if something is touted as so healthy for you, I don't think it should be popping your stomach out and causing transient abdominal pain. I'd get these sharp shooting pains that would last for 2 seconds and then go away. I had irregularities with elimination and all kinds of complaints, leaky pipes in association with workouts. I also had my giant salad game and my stir fry game on high level at this time. So I was ingesting a lot of plant material. These are been widely touted to be the centerpiece of healthy human eating. And thankfully, back in May of 2019, I had a tremendous turning point with the exposure to Dr. Paul Saladino's message and later the other carnivore leaders, where he proposed with great scientific reference that maybe we don't need to make these plant foods the centerpiece, these giant piles, the centerpiece of our diet, and that they could quite possibly be causing trouble.
Greetings, my fitness-minded listeners. I want to acquaint you with the Primal Fitness Expert Certification Program, the most comprehensive home study multimedia fitness education course in the world. If you want to enhance your personal knowledge of all aspects of leading a healthy, active, fit lifestyle, this total immersion course will be life-changing. I'm the lead instructor and author of the course, and we have 14 chapters of extensive written content with over 100 accompanying videos covering topics such as general everyday movement, including micro workouts and dynamic workstation tips, the full experience of gym-based strength training and all the different modalities, a complete presentation on all aspects of sprinting, both running and low impact options, an assortment of high intensity interval training and high intensity repeat training strategies, a detailed education on the principles and practical application of aerobic endurance training, and extensive commentary, the most you will find in any publication, on all aspects and symptoms of overtraining and burnout. We even have fascinating peripheral topics like integrating nasal diaphragmatic breathing, dynamic stretching, injury prevention, and developing a peak performance mindset. It's really something, this course. We went all out for over 2 years with a great team to develop this amazing home-based fitness education for you. And you get one-on-one expert email support and private Facebook group connection throughout your studies to ensure that you absorb everything optimally and you pass your series of exams and get certified. So go to primalhealthcoach.com/Brad to enjoy a very special limited time. And I'm not kidding. This is a big time discount just for you. 25% off your tuition. A fantastic premium offer at primalhealthcoach.com/Brad for the most comprehensive fitness course you can ever find.
Now, I believe that I have a healthy intestinal tract. I'm not someone who had the extreme sensitivities that you hear about from other promoters that have had life-changing turnarounds. And so I don't have that tremendous need to be extremely restrictive with my plant intake, but definitely no more of the obligation to go looking for produce as the center focus of my diet. And instead, I've made that transition to emphasize the least offensive plant foods, which are in the fruit category, because that's the final offering of the plant. They have the least amount of plant toxins, the starchy tubers like sweet potatoes, honey, and those are the majority of my plant intake. Of course, I also enjoy the Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece Nut Butter, and I'm not sensitive to it, so I can promote it. I love it. And if it doesn't work for you and you're finding yourself in that category where you have nut sensitivities, which is pretty common, then you can find something else to eat, right? So we don't have to traffic in these extremes where we're proclaiming that this is the way to go for everybody. But I think we are all obligated to maintain an open mind, think critically, and test and refine and revise your own approach as I'm communicating here, especially with that great transition away from a produce emphasis diet to a animal-based diet with the strategic integration of nutritious carbohydrate foods that are in the least offensive category. Okay, those are the three categories where you really want to, with great devotion, eliminate or minimize intake of these potential problem areas in the diet. That is the refined, high polyunsaturated industrial seed oils, the processed sugars and grains, and all the foods, the processed foods that are made with them that can promote endotoxin coming from your gut. It can promote inflammation, inhibit fat burning, and of course also promoting chronically excessive insulin production that we've heard so much about. And then the third category being the natural plant toxins that you potentially have sensitivity to, with particular focus on roots, stems, seeds, and leaves, and all the foods that fall into those categories. And that would be, of course, grains and legumes, green produce, the superstar, nutritional superstars, which also have the highest levels of plant toxins, especially when they're consumed in raw form. So do an experiment. If you have any type of chronic digestive discomfort, that would be gas, bloating, transient abdominal pain in association with meals, or you have any kind of lingering, nagging, autoimmune or inflammatory conditions in the body that you're dealing with or taking prescription medication for, anything ending in itis, colitis, arthritis, gastritis, asthma, allergies, all these things can be very likely associated with your consumption of natural plant toxins that you have no idea are causing trouble until you strictly eliminate them. So the gold standard of an elimination diet would be a 30-day carnivore experiment where you're eating strictly animal foods or as close as possible to no plant consumption. If you insist, you can throw in things like fruit and honey and survive if you're contending that you can't do it. But taking a month and allowing your digestive system to have a break from processing these natural plant toxins can be a real eye-opener. And then what people recommend is to strategically reintroduce certain foods that you like, that you wish you could continue to consume, and note any potential reaction. And so you can see what you can tolerate and what you can't. Okay, so to summarize this important concept that the main benefits of restrictive eating are what you eliminate, Dr. Robert Lustig, with his epic quote in our interview talking about his book, Metabolical, he said that it is virtually impossible to get fat, to become obese, to continue to add body fat over time if you eat wholesome, healthy, nutritious foods and eliminate processed foods. So that's a pretty incredible insight. It might even be hard to believe. Maybe on a bet, you could add some body fat if you stuffed your face all day long eating wholesome, healthy foods. But we have these powerful appetite and satiety mechanisms when we are consuming nutrient-dense, nutritious foods that tell us that we've had enough. And so I think we can all reference how it's very difficult to overeat on omelets and steaks and cuts of salmon, much more difficult than it is to allow those processed foods to sneak into the picture. And there you go, eating the whole pint of ice cream or the whole bag of potato chips or the indulgences that you can go and drive across town and get the best donuts in your town or the fresh ice creams or the other things. Okay, so clean eating, impossible to get fat and continue to get fat. So that is, in fact, the gateway to dropping excess body fat is to get healthy first. And when your body is good at producing energy, when the mitochondria are working well, when the gut is working well, it's not producing endotoxin, it's in fact processing nutrients and assimilating them effectively, that's when you have a fighting chance to drop excess body fat as a goal. Now, the diet is one component of being healthy and getting yourself primed for fat reduction. And the other stuff is lifestyle related, because there are a lot of things that point us in the direction of overconsuming, especially processed foods. One of them, of course, is chronic exercise patterns. So if you're engaging in overly stressful exercise patterns and depleting your cellular energy too frequently, producing too many stress hormones, you're going to be pushed in the direction of overconsuming, especially the quick energy, nutrient deficient processed foods. Same with getting insufficient sleep. And there's so many great research referenced all the time by experts that just a little bit of disturbance in sleep is going to throw off your appetite and satiety hormones and prompt you to overeat. Same with difficulty with stress management or dysfunctional lifestyle patterns that are overly stressful, chronically stressful. These are going to mess with your diet, your metabolism, your choices, and so forth. But I am appreciating Jay Feldman's contention that everything kind of emanates from an energy balance problem. So if you're not good at burning energy because of the presence of overly stressful lifestyle factors and poor food choices, that's the vicious circle occurring where you're going to continue to make poor food choices because you have no other way to get energy successfully. And so if you can focus on cleaning up the diet as the first step before you're worrying about your macros or strapping on a glucose monitor and carefully noting which foods spike your blood sugar more. Is it the banana or is it the papaya? I'm definitely supporting of the idea that first we got to clean things up before we have any reasonable conversation about anything else, especially your exercise patterns, because these topics are all irrelevant if you are throwing junk into the system. And when I say junk, I might be talking about a kale smoothie for many of us who are unknowingly sensitive to these natural plant toxins. I know that's not fair to put the 7-Eleven Slurpee in the same bucket as the kale smoothie, but that's why I'm offering the possibility here that your salad, that your stir fry, and that your plant smoothie could be not doing you a favor. And of course, if you are thriving and slamming that green smoothie every morning like Dr. Rhonda Patrick and the other 834,000 people that watch that video, okay, thumbs up all around. But I contend that most of us, most people I know, would nod their head if you asked them, hey, do you have frequent episodes of gas, bloating, transient digestive pain, elimination irregularities, and the like, autoimmune inflammatory conditions that nag and get you. Maybe it's the allergies get you every season or whatever it is. The stomach pops out after you drink a green smoothie. If that's something you can relate to, that's when we got to go into experimentation and dietary restriction and get that diet clean and get the body burning energy nicely. And the one I'm appreciating more and more is this obligation to increase all forms of general everyday movement as a critically important factor in your ability to burn energy successfully and to be healthy in general. Dr. Ponser referenced research that prolonged periods of stillness promote chronic inflammation in the body, which is the root cause of virtually all disease. You hear this bantered about all the time, that inflammation this, inflammation that, and amazingly, just sitting in a chair all day can promote an inflammatory state, which will really mess up, again, your body's ability to burn energy, for the mitochondria to function optimally, for the brain to function well. So getting up and moving around more throughout the day could be a key missing factor to your success with dropping excess body fat. And as Mark Sisson has been saying for, 15 years now, it's not about the calories that you burn. It's about the movement itself. So when you're able to get up and walk around and do a morning exercise routine that I promote so aggressively and do an evening walkabout instead of just sitting on the couch the whole time, getting up and engaging in foam rolling counts as a form of movement. Everything counts when you can take those frequent breaks from prolonged periods of stillness and become an active human. That's when your body becomes more efficient at burning energy. And that is the key to everything, says Jay Feldman. You can agree or disagree with that, but it makes a lot of sense that if you're good at burning energy and you're energetic and alert, your appetite is going to be regulated. And when push comes to shove, it's always, it's impossible to transcend the governing factor of your appetite and your energy levels when it comes to your food choices and your body composition, right? So the appetite's going to win out no matter what. And when your appetite is balanced, when your energy is balanced, that's when you're feeling good and living a good life and making good decisions rather than, we could blame it on being weak or undisciplined or unmotivated, and therefore your diet failed because you reach for the potato chips too many times. But if we just back up and try to attack the cause rather than beat yourself up for succumbing to these weaknesses and temptations, that's when we can really make progress for the long term rather than bouncing from one extreme restrictive pattern and then to the next one and then to the next one. Does that make sense? So that's the end all, is becoming a healthy human by ditching the processed foods out of the diet, those three categories that I mentioned, and increasing all forms of general everyday movement. And I didn't even mention your exercise, your training program, because the first two are so much more important. And again, if you don't have good energy production, energy balance status, you're going to have a very difficult time sustaining a reasonable, sensible exercise program, because you're going to get tired, you're going to have difficulty recovering, you're going to crave quick energy foods, everything's going to fall apart because you can't handle the stress. So let's just kind of close it there for the whole show and give us the marching orders of cleaning up your diet from those three offensive food categories, the oils, the processed grains and sugars, and the natural plant toxins, and then set the objective to just get up and move more throughout the day. And then we can talk about all the other tips and tricks that'll help you shed excess body fat, but not until you've crossed through the threshold, through the door to say, raise your hand, hi, I'm healthy, and I'm ready to aspire to further peak performance. How's that? Okay, thank you. Let me know what you think. podcast@bradventures.com, and get ready for the continued thread of this discussion, where we are going to turn our attention to people who are healthy, energetic, have decent body composition, or are close to their goal, and how should they strategize the blending of their fitness and active lifestyle endeavors with the the popular dietary strategies of the day, fasting, carb restriction, keto, vegan, carnivore, all that stuff. And so that's going to be fun, because that's what we're going to hear from a bunch of different experts. But for now, those are your initial marching orders. Thank you so much. Let's do it.
I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine, and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad.
Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.